Father, I thank you. I've learned. I thank you for the service. I thank you, God. You are such an amazing God, and I thank you that your Holy Spirit just continues to permeate this place. Your Holy Spirit continues to speak to us. It is so exciting and so, oh my gosh, so comforting. It is so comforting that you speak to us, Father, and that we see it with our eyes what you're doing. It is so comforting, Holy Spirit. Thank you for being the helper and the comforter to know that we're on the right track, God, to know that this church is going places. Places that are unimaginable, as Pastor George said, that we're going, and that it's not just Pastor Drew and Tamara, but it is Hope Community that is going to go there. I thank you, Father, for people making a decision today to jump all in, for people making the decision today, Father, to be a living sacrifice. They make a decision today, Father, that they are willing. Make a decision in their heart, position of their heart, to leave everything behind just to be in your presence, God. Holy Spirit, we honor you, we thank you. And Jesus, we lift up the name of Jesus this afternoon. We say that you are Lord of this place. You are the King of Kings, and we honor you, Father. We praise you, Father. We praise you, Lord. We praise you. Let's just take a moment to just praise him. You don't have to get loud. Just in your own bubble right now. Just praise him right now. Father, we praise you. We praise you, Lord. We praise that you are Lord over this place. You are Lord over this place. King Jesus. King Jesus. In your name, Jesus, we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Wow. Thank you, Tony. If you have your Bibles, lift them up over your head. Come on, say it with me. Say, this is my Bible. I can have what it says I can have. I can do what it says I can do. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'm ready to receive the infallible word of God. Having received the word of God, I will do. You guys want to hear a funny story? I don't know if I have time for funny stories, but I have one. So this is like one of like the first Bibles I ever got when I got saved, right? So this Bible is like 8 years old. Not eight, seven. 7 years old. And it's okay, man. And we went to a youth camp, and someone's like, hey, I was a counselor, and one of our youth, everyone say, blessed our soul. No. Okay, fine, it was Angel. Angel's like, I forgot my Bible, can I borrow yours? I'm like, sure, of course. I let him borrow my Bible, and then like a couple of days later, we're leaving for camp. I was like, hey, where's my Bible? He's like, I don't know. I was like, what? We looked in the sanctuary, we couldn't find it. And I was like, it's all right, man. It's all right. It only has my name engraved in it. It's all right. It's all right. It's only like one of my first Bibles. It's okay. It's okay. Anyway, so like 3 or 4 years later, we're back at the same camp. And we're in one of the buildings called the A-Frame. And I'm with JC. And JC has the exact same Bible, right? Just not her name, obviously. Sorry, not my name. And she's like, hey, that looks like my Bible. I was like, hey. I looked at it, it had my name on it. I was like, that's my Bible. She's like, what? I was like, oh my gosh. Like, I don't know what happened to it, but we literally walk into like this empty room. They have like some soundboard set up, and I went to go look at the soundboard, and I'm looking at it, and there's a Bible right next to it, and it was my Bible. Like, I found it like 3 or 4 years later. Don't tell me God is not a restorer, all right? Don't tell me. Don't tell me. Don't tell me. Go to Romans chapter 12. I'm gonna piggy off Pastor Tamara, piggybacking off of me. It's a fun ride, fun ride. I'm going to say fun ride. So check this out. So one thing that we know for sure, God is speaking to us this morning, is that he's coming back, and he's coming back sooner than we think. Now is the time for us to get real, amen?
Amen.
Now is the time for us to live some authentic Christianity where we don't just love Jesus on Sundays, but that we display God's love every single day to every single person we meet. That is exactly what Jesus did. Anytime he encountered someone, love flowed out. Every single time someone had a need, every time someone had a question, he reacted in love. That was Jesus' response. So check this out. I beseech you, therefore, brethren. This is Paul. We're going to read this soon, actually. If you guys all know that we're in Romans. Someone say Romans. Just give me a poker face if you're not with us. But today, everyone say today. We're going to get ripe. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living, I'm going to say living,
amen,
living sacrifice. In the Old Testament, God tells King Saul, he says, I don't desire sacrifice. I desire, come on, somebody, Everyone say obedience. Obedience. I was telling, I was in the first service, I was just thanking Pastor Jews and Tamara for one, having me up here, but for two, for being my pastors. Because they're not pastors by title. I don't say Pastor Drew and Tamara, I don't say Pastor Drew and Tamara because that's the right thing to do or that's their title. I say that because that's their role in my life. It's one thing for you to say, yeah, he's a pastor, Pastor Drew, but it's another thing to say he is my pastor. Because when you say he is my pastor, that means he's going to pastor you. It means he's going to lead you. It's one thing, and listen, and it's no offense to anybody who serves here. But it's not hard to come here and run a camera. It's not hard to come and put on a vest and be an usher. But it's a totally different thing when you go to your pastor and say, hey, I'm struggling with this, lead me out of it. It's a whole other thing for your pastor to say, hey, you got to work on your attitude. That's a whole other thing. It's one thing to serve them, but it's a whole other thing to be led by them. Amen? And listen, and look at all the interns. Perfect example of someone who not only serves them, but they're willing to be led by them, willing to put their faith in their and their trust in a one-year program where they are completely devoted to this church, full-time volunteer. Ask anybody who has ever done the intern program, and they will tell you nothing but blessings, nothing but amazing, not only characteristics, but work ethic, but above all that, just this spiritual journey where they're completely reliant on God. Amen? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Other translations, as Pastor Aaron pointed out, is your reasonable act of worship. See, worship doesn't end when the music stops. Worship doesn't end when our hands go down and we stop singing. Our lives need to be exemplified as a life that worships God. That means in everything we do, it is an act of worship to God, a living sacrifice, which means that we are dead to our flesh, dead to our sin, and alive in Christ. We are alive in all of his promises. Listen, read Paul's letters. He constantly, he's always saying, do this in Christ. Be this in Christ. Because everything that we must do it in Christ. Christ, amen? Anything that's not in Christ is of the Antichrist. There's no, like, you read the Bible and there's no, how do you say it? Yeah, there's no middle ground. There's no, like, gray lines. It's pretty clear. You're either in Christ or you're not. And as Pastor Drew is doing ripe, someone tell me what R is for. I, P, E, expect. I told Pastor Drew, I love this series so much because of how practical it is. You can't walk out from this series and not be challenged and not be equipped and not be encouraged to do something other than come to church. This church is not about raising up people who love coming to church. That your love for coming to church needs to flow out of a relationship that you have with him. Your relationship with God is not sustained by this Sunday service. Your worship towards God is not limited to the songs we sing on this stage. Your prayer life is not contained to whether you come here or not. At 7:30 in the morning, we pray for half an hour, or even some prayers that we say at the end of service. Your prayer life cannot be contained to those few moments. But we are a living sacrifice. Amen? And listen, if for any of you who were like, because I was like totally amazed, not because I didn't expect it, but just because God is so awesome, the way he just leads and orchestrates and how, because Pastor Tamara has the Holy Spirit, because Pastor Drew has the Holy Spirit, because Pastor George has the Holy Spirit, because Grandpa Joe over there, his name is Joe, has the Holy Spirit, that God is able to orchestrate this leading of this congregation so that every single one of us sees, wow, God must be working here. Amen. And every single one of us, God is calling us to be a part of this congregation. Amen. If you say Hope Community is my congregation, if you say Hope is my church, then you are obligated by your destiny, by your calling, to do ripe. It's not, listen, ripe is not who Pastor Drew and Tamar is. Ripe is who we are. And it's not his vision, it's God's vision for our church. And so if we're going to tap into and come into this church and tap into this vision, then ripe is what we're going to tap into right now, amen? And if you're having any trouble right now, if you're saying, well, God doesn't really speak to me, listen, does God speak to you during the preaching? I've heard so many people tell me, like, oh man, that was such a good message. Pastor Drew had a good message. This is what God spoke to me. Or during worship, wow, I felt God's presence. You can have that every single day. The best preacher in the world is the Holy Spirit. And all you got to do is open up the book that God wrote and say, God, speak to me, and the Holy Spirit will point out, well, we'll look at it today. Like, God just points out specific things to me, and it's like, oh my gosh, this is so amazing. Amen? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. In other words, church, get ready. Get ready. Whatever you have to let go of, let it go of now. Whatever you need to overcome, don't overcome it, because he's already overcome it. All you got to do is position yourself in that place where God says, I've overcome. Okay, I don't know where I'm going from here. Tell three people amen. Amen. That doesn't make sense, but okay. Everyone say position. I'm going to talk to you guys today about positioning yourselves for God's blessings, I think. We'll see how it goes, okay? For example, yes, but no. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle, everyone say wrestle, against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Listen, guys, we I just gotta make this point. Whenever we have issues with people, people are not the problem. And many times we blame shortcomings on people. We blame issues that we have in our lives on people. People are not the problem. Our problem is that we see people as problems, and we don't see people as the way that God sees them. And we need to recognize that whatever they're being influenced by, or whatever attitude they might have, or whatever things they might say, that is not God's nature in them. That is not their true nature. Recognize that that they're not perfect and they're fallible. But recognize even more, everyone say more, that there's higher powers working. And I'm not talking about God's higher power, I'm talking about principalities against powers, rulers of darkness and this age. Recognize people are not your enemy. Amen? And so whenever you have issues or problems with people, instead of trying to lash out at them, instead of trying to give them a piece of your mind, why don't you give them a piece of your God? Why don't you pray for them? Why don't you buy them some chocolates? See, the way Jesus responded to everyone was with love. And no matter how people treat you or how people talk to you, you need to respond in love. Go back to the Romans scripture, 12. We'll go to the second verse. I never got past the first one. And do not be conformed to this world. Listen, don't be like everyone else. Amen. If you're like everyone else, people are not going to see Jesus in you. Because your life has been set apart for his purposes. Amen. It's been set apart for his purposes, not your own emotions. Amen. Not your own thoughts, not your own plans, but his plans which are higher. His ways which are higher. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Oh God, renew our minds today. Lord, help us to renew our minds today. To see people how you see them, not how I see them. To react to people with love and not with emotion. That we act and we don't react. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Listen, people are going to see God inside of you when you react in nothing short of love. For many people, you don't even have to tell them you're a Christian. You don't even have to tell them I love Jesus. All you got to do is react in love, and they're going to know, wow, this person's different. What's different about you? A few years ago, I had a really great teacher. I had a really great English teacher, and I went back to visit her because now she's a vice principal at the high school. So I was just talking to her, and she like totally like interrupted me. She's like, "What's up with you?" I was like, "What are you talking about?" She's like, "You're just like," she's like, "You're working for a church, and like you didn't go to school, like you didn't finish school, and you didn't have like this like amazing job that everyone thought you were gonna have. All you're doing is going to church, and like you're so okay with it, and you're so happy, and like you seem so secure. Like you seem like you have it all together." As like she has like two computers open, like all these things scattered on her desk, because like all these things, like all I think like SATs were coming up. I don't know, but she's like frazzled out, and she's like, "How do you have it so together?" I'm like, "Jesus." It doesn't matter what happens at this level as long as I'm right on this level. It doesn't matter what comes against me. It doesn't matter what principalities, what powers. It doesn't matter. Because my mind is at another level. My attitude is at another level. And God is inviting every single one of us to come up to that level. I love reading about like the mysteries of God and like the hidden secrets of God, because it excites me, because God doesn't hide things from us so that we don't find it. God hides things in his word. God hides things in worship. God is hiding things everywhere so that we can find them as we're worshiping, so that we find them as we're reading the Bible. Amen? God is calling every single one of us to just come a little closer. Come a little closer. Amen? Next thing you know, you'll be walking on water. Next thing you know, you'll have a new house. Next thing you know, you'll have a better job. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Amen? Amen. We'll read a story and then we'll be finished. Yeah, that's okay. Hey, this is the Holy Spirit already did a lot this service, right? That's... Go to Second Chronicles chapter 20. It's after First Chronicles. I hear your sarcastic giggles. 20? Second Chronicles chapter 20. I'm gonna tell you guys one more story, because I've been dying to tell a story. It has nothing to do with this, but so the interns are we're all going to a conference today actually, and we're like super excited, and I forgot what we were talking about during lunch, but we're talking about like luggage and like packing and stuff like that, and like it reminded me of a story. I don't even think Pastor Drew knows this actually, but so we'll call him Bobby, all right? Because he doesn't come to church anymore. But so we had a friend or a guy here long ago. His name was Bobby, and so. About 7 years ago, we all went to a conference up in Sacramento. Yeah. And that was actually the first time I remember we went up there, and I sat next to Brian, and I was like super intimidated, because I heard the stories of like, you know, he's like this rock and bass player. He traveled Europe with his band like in the 80s, I think. And like, so I'm like sitting next to him, like, oh man, like I am so uncool right now. and then I was like, I forgot, I practiced something dumb, like, so you play bass, huh? And then, so we just started a conversation, and, like, he showed me on his iPad, like, things he was working on, and I was, like, so inspired, I was like, I want to be a rock star. Anyway, so we get up to this conference, and so every single person, they have a roommate, and me being 18 years old, I think, or 19, I still had a lot of high school in me, and so we got into the room, we have all our luggage, and he leaves the room, and I'm like, I'm going to play a prank on him. So I was like, hmm. So I saw his luggage, so I hid his luggage in the shower. I put all of his luggage in the shower, and like, did you know this? I don't think you know this, huh? I hid his luggage in the shower, and I pulled the curtain, right? And then I'm waiting for him to come back to be like, oh, where's my luggage? I'm like, oh, I don't know. And like, you know, just dumb stuff. And so I'm waiting, and like, he's taking a long time. And like, oh. And I think either Paul or Tony, they knock on my door, And they're like, hey, we're going to have a man cave in Brian's room. We're going to get pizza. I was like, cool. So I leave the room. And like 3 hours later, I finally get back to the room. And Bobby, we'll call him Bobby. He's upset. He's upset. I'm like, what happened? He's like, I can't find my luggage. I'm like, what? He's like, yeah. He's like, I went to the front desk. I already reported it. The cops are going to come and all this stuff, right? And I'm like, oh, man, like that. Oh, man, that's messed up. I was like, Bobby. He's like, what? It's in the shower. He's like, what? He's like, your stuff is in the shower. And sure enough, it's in the shower. Oh, my gosh, the look he gave me. And I was like, and he's like, at this point, he's like in his 50s or 40s. So, you know. And I'm like some like punk 18-year-old hiding his stuff. And so that's good. He forgave me a few hours later. I mean, he had to. I mean, we were sleeping in the same room together. So, interns, do not hide my luggage, all right? I'm going for you. No, sir, there's mercy. 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 All right, Second Chronicles. It happened after this time, the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and the others with them beside the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are from Hazazon, Tamar, which is En Gedi. So this is Jehoshaphat. He's a leader of Israel, and he finds out that all of these armies are getting together, and they're going to jump them. They're all going to come. And Israel and Jehoshaphat knows, like, wow, we don't have the numbers, we don't have the strength to take all of them on. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord. Has anybody ever felt like that? You feel like everything's just going wrong. You feel very overwhelmed, and you're like, oh, my gosh. Like, this is what I feel. I feel like, oh, my gosh, there are so many things that I'm called to do. I don't have the time to do all of those. God, I don't have the time. God, I don't have the time. That's what keeps me up at night. I've literally had, like, dreams of, like, doing kids ministry with, like, leaders not from our church. And, like, in my dream, like, kids are pulling out nails from pallet boards. Like, it's just crazy. I know. Nightmares. Anyways, and like, so, I don't know if anybody else has had that. I'm sure all of us. It's like, we have all these responsibilities, and you're like, where is the time to do all of it? How can I keep up with it? Right? You feel like life is jumping you. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek who?
The Lord
and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. I'm going to say one accord.
One accord.
During this portion of time, Israel was doing a fantastic job of being together. Amen? God moves when the church is united.
Amen?
Amen? Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nation? And in your hand, is there not power and might so that no one is able to withstand you? Next verse. Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend, forever? And they dwell in it and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, if disaster, I want to say if disaster.
Yes.
If disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and say, listen, when they built the city, they built the temple, and they said, Lord, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, anytime anything comes to attack us, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to come to church. We're going to come to the temple, and we're going to cry out to you because we know you're going to save us.
Amen.
Next verse. And now here are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt. But they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are rewarding us by coming. Oh, man, they're backstabbers. Because they had an opportunity to take all of them out, and God said, nope, don't do it. So they didn't do it, and now here they are. Here they are rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. Oh, our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us. God, we don't have the resources. God, we don't have the people. We don't have the weapons. We don't have the time. We don't have the money. I don't have the patience. For we have no power against this great multitude that's coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Hear this, Hope Community. Whatever affliction, I'm sure you don't have swords coming against you. Whatever affliction, disaster, the pressures, the cares of the world, keep your eyes on Jesus. Next verse. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel. Come on, say it with me. Say Jahaziel. Probably said it wrong. The son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah. Next verse. And he said, so check this out. Oh my gosh, this is so awesome. This is like what happened today. Like, we're crying out to the Lord, we're praising, we're worshiping, and then someone stands up and gives a word of encouragement, just like Pastor George did today. Listen, God was moving back then. God's moving right now. God's moving right now. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm tripping out on that. Just like that happened today. And he said, listen, all you of Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Amen. Tomorrow, go down against them. They will surely come up from the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves, stand still. Oh my gosh, that's just like what Isaac was talking about today. He's talking about just standing still. Just check this out, it will make sense. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you. See the salvation of the Lord. See, God wants you guys to position yourselves to see the salvation of the Lord. God didn't say, hey guys, stay home, stay in your couches, watch TV, and I'll take care of it. That's not what God was saying. He's like, hey, prepare yourselves, get battle ready, show up, and position yourselves to see me win the fight, to see how I'm going to move. And listen, I don't know what, whatever the guy's name was, whatever, that promise was from God. And so now they have this expectation of what's going to happen. But they're not going to see God move until they position themselves. And listen, God is moving and is going to continue to move mightily in this church. And in order for us to grab a hold of the blessings, to grab a hold of that calling, we need to position ourselves. And for many of us, positioning ourselves means letting go of some things. Positioning ourselves means letting go of someone. Positioning ourselves means deleting some social media accounts. See, here's the thing. God says, your position is to show up and watch. My position is to fight and win. But I can't be in my position to fight and win if you're trying to take my position to fight and win. If you're trying to do it in your own strength, I can't help you. You're taking my position. Stay in your position, watch what I'm going to do, and I'll do my part. Amen? Hold on. For all you single people here, your position is not to go out there and find your mate. Your position is to be godly, do right, read the Bible, pray, invite people, and expect that God's going to bring someone. Listen, you don't want anyone but what the Lord has for you. Listen, you don't want anyone but who the Lord has for you. And your position is to get ready, be holy, protect your purity. That is your position. His position is to lead you and bring that person to you. Amen? You can't be the match and the matchmaker. You can't. Let him be the matchmaker and you be the right match. Amen? You need to fight. Sorry. Oh, I gotta stop. Hey. It's okay. Yeah, I gotta stop. Listen. Go back and listen to the Ripe series, okay? Your life from today, from here on out, your life can be completely different, completely changed, if you just follow RIPE. Amen? There are so many people who like, oh yeah, I tried God, I tried church. Like, you didn't try church. You went to church and you left and nothing happened. Come to church, come to change. Listen to your pastor, listen to RIPE. And when you apply these principles, your life is going to start changing, amen? Listen, this church, like Pastor George said, is going to reach unimaginable places, amen? Yeah. And we're going. We're all going. Yeah. Amen. And we want all of you guys to come with us, amen? Because we believe that for every single person that's sitting, if your hiney is in the seat, the vision is for you. This destiny is for you, amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
That scripture in Romans 12 that he began our service with, do not be conformed to this world. That's where he begins speaking to us about that. When you talked about here, let me say this: fear. He had referenced fear. Fear in wrong attitudes will remove you from the lordship of Jesus Christ in your life. You reference Easter for a minute, and the Holy Spirit just quickened me to something, is just looking at the service in totality when I said, you know what, let's each one of us just seek, what is God saying to us? When he's telling us to expect that this Easter will be like no other Easter, that it's going to be a very special Easter. And then he says, every one of us has a part in that. And to begin seeking God, what is that besides expecting and praying for our Easter service? What else is that? And you talked about unity early on, and the Holy Spirit said this. Imagine if Anthony and Georgie, you know what, they had some kind of a riff, you know what I mean? So he's really kind of ticked off at him. You know, he shows up, he gives him that, you know, smile, you know, hey. But inside, what's really happening inside is Georgie has not forgiven Anthony. He's holding bitterness. He's holding on to it. He's upset with him. He feels that he's been wronged. And he's just playing on the outside that everything's okay. But there's no unity in this church because that's going on. And God is telling us, you know what, to expect awesome, something very, very special for Easter. That this Easter service will be like no other, and that we're to seek God and we're to figure out what's our part. Might it be George's part to get it? How can we have unity when there's disunity? Think about that. And if you know anything about your Bible, unity is very, very important. Honor is incredibly important. Who are you dishonoring in this body? Who are you not in unity with in this body? Could it be that that's your part? To get it together and to give those attitudes, to take them to the cross, to get them under the blood, and to clean it up? To stop running your own life, but to let the Lord Jesus have his way? Because that is what lordship is, that we don't decide what we do. He directs what we do. And Joel pointed out, hey, it's that whole pastor thing that you talked about. Like, hey, yeah, hi, I'm here, I'm doing the parking lot ministry. But that's way different than being led and submitted. If you've ever done something that you don't really feel like doing, but you do it anyway. But for most of us, we're in a real comfort place. I love this attitude thing, this beginning of Romans, do not be conformed to this world. See, we're supposed to be real different, you know what, in the way, and he's telling us, you know, he's talking about attitudes. Joel was talking about attitudes. Listen, if we are not transformed by the renewing of our mind, then we end up with these attitudes. You know what I think? I think the attitudes are ripping us off big time from what God has for us. We all got an opinion on something. We always got to feel like we got to say what we got to say. You know what? Give someone a piece of our mind. Who said that? Is that you? Don't give them a piece of your mind. Give them a piece of your God. Right? Right? That was good. You launched it with that one. That was good. And here's the deal, is all these attitudes, I believe, are just swirling in us. And whether that's attitude about your neighbor, attitude about someone here in the church, attitude about what you think should or shouldn't be here at the church, attitude at work, blah, 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 blah. We all are just so full of ourselves. Nobody chooses your attitude except for you. And it's interesting because you wouldn't think so if you talked to a few folks. Because you've heard it and so have I. Why, yeah, I know, da, 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 da. But he just makes me so mad. So he walks around with kind of an attitude. You know why? Because he just doesn't think that what Anthony did was right. And I just don't think, and I just da, 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 da. And he has this attitude that is not an attitude of Christ. It's that antichrist attitude. He ends up with this antichrist attitude on things. Why? How do we get attitudes? Because we don't have the mind of Christ. Because if we think like God thinks, we don't end up with all these attitudes. Back during all the Holocaust, there's a guy named Viktor Frankl. And Viktor Frankl, his whole family was killed in the Holocaust. I think only his sister survived with him. But his wife, his children, all of his family, his mother, his father, everybody killed. Everybody suffering in his family. And that suffering led to death for all of them, with the exception of him, and I believe he had one sister. And here's what he said. He said, I will suffer with dignity, and I will hate no one. He ended up, because he was a survivor, he ended up sharing, you know what, his testimony on that time and what took place. And that was what he said. See, no matter what the Nazis did or took from him, the one thing they could not do is to transform his mind. Only he could do that. They couldn't make him hate and to conform to their behavior. That's his choice. And so if you have stuff that you're holding on to, let me just tell you something. Attitudes are going to remove you from God. Because wrong attitudes create wrong behavior. And if you're not thinking like God, I promise you, you're not moving towards him. So, as Joel so eloquently pointed out, as you know, it's one of my favorite points, we're either moving towards God or we're moving away from him. And if we're moving away from him, we're not neutral, are we? Where am I headed? I'm headed right for the slaughter that Satan has for me, because there's only two roads. You're either for me or you're against me. You're either with me or you're not. And if we're not serving God, and I do not need to have a pentagram necklace, you know what, in some high, holy, you know what, satanic hat. You know what? If I am not serving God, we like to see it as serving ourselves, but we're serving Satan because God's not into that. If we're not submitted to God, we are submitted to the Antichrist. And we can resist that all day long, but that's just the reality. Your attitude will manifest in behavior. So that's why ripe is all about having what? Grapes, fruit. Yeah. Our behavior looks really different when God is the one who is setting our minds and our hearts, does it not? Yeah. So then we don't have any disunity. You know what I mean? Because Georgie knows, you know what? I don't wrestle with Anthony. Whatever Anthony did to me, I don't wrestle with flesh and blood. You know what I mean? Anthony's a brother in this church. You know what? And I'm going to, you know what? Give it to God. I'm just going to release it. You know what I mean? It's not worth my love for Anthony. It's not worth the disunity in the body. I'm going to let it go. I'm going to let it go the way God let all kinds of things go for me. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. We just think differently. And when we think differently, we act differently. And when we act differently, we're going to get what it is that God is trying to lead us to. But if we're going to chill out and act like, this ain't got nothing to do with me, whatever, then we're really working against what God is trying to do. Because we just won't deal with it. We won't just release it. Does that make a lot of sense to you? Can I tell you something? You are incredibly important in the body of Christ. And we come in and we think we're not. Even though God has told us we are. We think we can do what we want to do as this solo entity. But we can't, because God's already told us we're a body. And that it's going to affect us, that each one of us has a part to bring. We have a share. And it's through that share that growth will come. Growth isn't just numbers. Do you understand that? Could I grow in my faith? Could I grow in my love walk? Can I grow in the power and the presence of God? Yeah. But will we take what we hear the Lord saying seriously? And get a hold of ourselves, that we do our part. I hope so. Because the curtain thing, you know, remember the little, you know what? That's not just like some vision that I had one morning at morning prayer. That's real right out of your Bible. We're all going to stand before him, and we're all going to give account. And so our job is that we're preparing ourselves for that moment. Because we're all coming before the King. And nobody can make you not ready except for you. And if we're getting a bunch of attitudes going on, you know what, with people, then we're giving those people way too much power in our life. Amen.